You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
So this is cool. I'm Sean Fitch, lead pastor of MC3, and this time about 10 years ago, we were developing this. God was putting this together, this thing that would become MC3, officially launched in October, at 10 years in October. And here we are, just by God's grace. That line just kind of hit me. If grace is an ocean, we are sinking. And how powerful it is of what God is doing. And so this morning, my brother, our brother, our friend, Chris Hale, who is our C3 pastor candidate, is going to share his story. And we will turn the house lights on if we could do that, because he wants to see all your faces, your disapproving glances. and I will share that this guy's like a rock until this week when he like got sick. And so he's got a cold. No sniffles, no fever, no cough, no chills, no aches. He just can't speak. So it's a good thing that he didn't need that for today. So Chris is going to share his voice a little bit. God's kind of pulling him through here, and his voice a little bit scratchy. So that's what's happening here. We knew about that, but he's going to share, and I'm just going to hand it over to him. And then, as we get to the very end, I'll wrap things up a little bit with The Point, and we'll send you guys out. So, Chris, actually, why don't we do this before we start? We pray. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for just what this moment represents, and we know that. As Kirk already prayed, that this is a process that you have been leading Chris and his family and the elders and just so many pieces together, as Chris is going to share this morning. And we know that the end is whatever you want, and that's our goal. That's our desire, whether that's Chris, whether that's something else. But we just thank you for this moment that Chris gets to share his story, that we're able to consider him in this role. And I just pray for Chris. I pray for his voice. That you would give him what he needs, and as he shares his story isn't about him. His story is about you and what you have done in him. So, God, use him. May the words that he shares just speak to our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. Sorry.
Good morning, everybody. Miraculously, I still have a voice today, because I didn't know if this was going to go through or not this week, because on Friday, I wasn't sure. I actually sent Sean a message yesterday. I said, I have an emergency. And he said, let's see what God does in the morning. So good morning. Most of you know who I am. For those of you who don't, my name's Chris. I've been part of MC3 now since 2012. I don't know how many years that makes. What?
Nine.
So... I'm 37. I'm married. I have a beautiful wife. She's sitting out there. Her name's Dawn. We have 5 children. I'm just going to go through some basic stuff just so you guys know who I am before I start getting crazy with the stories. So, other than that, I mean, jumping into it, I grew up in Granville. I came from a broken home. And amongst that broken home, I left home at a very young age and was sort of on my own. Found myself mixed in with a lot of destructive relationships, as well as alcohol and drugs. I think it was a matter of months before I was in the back of parking lots with a heroin needle buried in my arm. And I really started to travel down the path a lot quicker then, you know. I was really using a lot, and at that point I didn't care. I didn't know God. I didn't grow up in a godly home, so for me it was just about getting my next fix and moving on. So once I was started using so much, everybody knows the cost of that starts to go up, and everybody would always ask, like, well, how can you afford? Well, my street habit started out at $30 a day. Before too long, it was between 400 to 500 a day. And everybody says, well, how do you afford that? And I said, well, you can't. But your addiction often figures it out pretty quickly, often in ways you don't want it to, that often in ways it ends you up in jail. And that's where I ended up. So through my first stint in jail, I learned nothing because God wasn't ready for me yet. I wasn't ready for God yet. God's been ready for me probably since way back, but I wasn't there. So let me rephrase that, because I was the one that was walking away. And now I see that he's never left me through all of these trials, because I shouldn't be sitting up here right now. I should be dead 10 times over through overdoses and car accidents and guns in my face and in my mouth and, you know, just a lot of bad things. Things that people read about and say, oh, well, that can't happen. This is Mifflin County. Well, they do. I hate to tell you. So, you have to give me a minute. Just need a second, just to catch up here with myself. So to jump back, we started coming to MC3 on an invite from Justin and Steph Beamer. And I wasn't sure at that point that this was what I wanted to do until I actually came here for the first time. And then I remember driving home and I told Dawn, I said, that was it. I want to go back. And we've been here ever since. And since that day, I have served on multiple missions trips. Five.
And you did five, and I did five, so we're tied.
Yeah. Where it's on, right?
It is totally on.
It's on. So, and also serve as the MC3 coordinator and a teacher in Ignition. So going back, thinking about being a drug addict and being in jail, imagining that God could use me for these kind of things now still boggles my mind every single morning that I open my devotional and see what God's word is for the day. It still completely blows me away every time that I just continue to pray about it. I'm like, why? Why would you use somebody like me? And he always comes back, well, it seems to be that he has a plan and it's way better than mine. So I need to accept that, and I just continue on with it. Well, let me see what I'm missing. So I'm going to jump around a little bit because I don't want to just continue to just bore you guys with this long story and a timeline of where I went and how I did it and where I'm at now. So back, I'm in the city, and I have a lot of people looking for me. And, you know, this was the time when I was really invested in drug dealing, drug using, stealing, what have you. And I knew that when I got picked up, that I wasn't getting out for quite a while. So the time came when I couldn't run anymore, and I was arrested, and I didn't get out. And when I went in, I was highly addicted to heroin and cocaine. So I detoxed in a cell with no extra medicine, no Tylenol. I laid in a cell for 2 weeks and wanted to die. I wanted to die. That was just all it was to it. I could not take it. I couldn't walk. I had to get the guards to help me in and out of the cell, even help me get up to eat. And I decided that for some reason, I was never going back to that. And I never did. I never relapsed. Once I was released, I have walked off going on 18 years of sobriety right now with no relapse ever. And it wasn't easy, because when you get out, you need to find new friends. You need to change your life. You need to change direction of everything you've ever known and go the other way. And when people were seeking you out because of the position you were in before you went, that doesn't make it the easiest either. So I started, I got married. And I have 4 other children that probably none of you have ever met. But the marriage didn't last long. I was still trying to figure out where I was going in life, and I definitely still was still trying to find my way back around. Once again, God was still there because there was trials at that point too. I just was still walking away. And the marriage didn't last long. And I went through a period where I just wasn't sure. And then I met Dawn. And it was definitely different with Dawn because she grew up in a Christian home and I did not. And when the families got together, I was definitely treading in some different water. I'll guarantee that. So it was different for me. And time went on. Dawn got pregnant. And we had our daughter, Chloe, in August. We got married in November of that year. And it has been an amazing journey. And I'm so glad that she's been willing to stand beside me and walk through all this, because honestly, a lesser woman would have just dropped me a long time ago with the problems and the baggage I carried along. I mean, it almost needs a trailer. It almost needed a trailer at one point to haul it all. So, fast forwarding a few years, I'm driving truck. Dawn's at home, alone, while I'm out on the road with two toddlers and our twins, Luke and Leah. And she's trying to raise them while I'm out on the road making a living. I am definitely missing out on a whole lot of first things that I shouldn't have been. And the money thing, you can make a lot of money driving truck on the road, but you miss so much you can't buy. And that is the truth. There is just irreplaceable moments. And I was starting to deal with some health issues. I was driving out over my logs. I'm talking like 3 days, no sleep. So the health issues were catching up as well as sleep deprivation. When you're not sleeping, you're not eating right, it starts to catch up with you quickly. And I'm starting to deal with a little bit of health issues, mental health issues. And we had just started at this point, when I'm driving and speaking at this point, we had started MC3 just a few months prior. And I had been in contact with Justin and shared a little bit with him, and we talked back and forth, and we were attending regularly. And I think it was in January. I was really struggling. I was a mess, and I knew if I went to the doctor for my sleep problem that I was probably gonna lose my job. But yet, we trusted, and I went. Even though it scared me, and it was against most of everything I knew, it still scared me. So I went to see the doctor, and he said, "I'm taking your med card." He said, "You're a mess." So at that point, you want to talk about scary? I have no job, 4 children at home, a child support payment to make, and a wife who's due in a few months with our 5th child, and a house payment to make. That was the first time I ever filed for unemployment in my life. Got one check. Within 2 weeks after that, I had got a new job. It wasn't the most high-paying job. As a matter of fact, it paid a third of our salary from before. And what I had seen in that job, what I didn't see at the beginning but found out, was the amount of blessings that came with that job were worth more than any amount of salary difference could have paid. That year, I was diagnosed with hepatitis. Never would have found it had I not gone to the doctors. I got treated, and I am clear. My system is clear of the hepatitis. And that came from drug use. So, you know, years later, God, there's still things opening up. There's still repercussions for my decisions. And God is just walking us through them without me even sitting down, dropping to my knees and crying and praying. God is still walking us through these. And it was just absolutely amazing to see. That was the year that I went on my first missions trip. I would have never imagined that I would be serving others in a different country. And meeting this little girl that we were sponsoring at the time, and just being able to wrap my arms around her, and I fell in love with Oaxaca that year, and I'm pretty sure I've been back every time we've left for Oaxaca since. But there was a lot of firsts for us. I went on this missions trip without pay because it was a new job. And I'll be honest with you, we were a little bit leery about it. Like, what are we going to do? We're on such a fixed income. And so we went anyhow. We stepped out, we went anyhow. And we got down there, and I got back, and we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. Honestly, missing a week's worth of pay doesn't make sense on paper. So the next, I think it was 2 days later, I'm sitting in the break room, and my boss comes in. I worked at a pig farm, by the way, so maybe that'll make you wonder why, but I had my boss comes in, and he said, "Hey, I want you guys to know we had a great fiscal year, and I have something for you guys." And he hands me an envelope. He says, "This is an end of the fiscal year bonus." I'm like, "What is, who even heard of such a thing?" Like, okay, hey, thanks. But so I open this up, envelope up, and I go directly out to the cattle, out to the pig sheet to call my wife, because it is three times what my weekly pay is. And God provided. And I remember the phone call. It was just amazing. The phone call, we were both in tears. And we trusted, stepped out, and God caught me. Us. And that's happened so many times over the years. So over the next few months, I actually changed jobs and started to see God working more and more, because He was there, I just wasn't looking, at least not hard enough. And it seemed at that time when I looked, it was only because it was when I needed something. And I found that He was providing the whole time, whether I was asking or not. But I moved on to a different job. I was different hours, different, you know, just a different situation. I'm back in the truck again. You'd think, you know, I'd learned the first time. But here I am. I find myself back in the truck again. And most of you already know that I still drive, and I help operate a company in Belleville that deals in pallets and heat treating and whatnot. So I've been doing that for quite a while, and honestly, the guy that I work with is a pretty good friend of mine. He's my boss. We've been friends for 15 years. So talking to him, it's hard for me not to share things that I was feeling through this process with him, and especially the morning that I woke up, and I just had this need to open my devotional that morning because I was running late, yet I opened it, and I start reading through it, and I'm just broken. I didn't understand it, but I felt it, that God was nudging me to do something different with my life and be more involved in people's lives and in my church. And I didn't know what that looked like, so I went immediately to prayer about it. And I kept just praying, and, you know, the big thing that stuck out to me was a lesson from one of the elders here at church, from Jason. It was about this object lesson of a tape measure, that God gives you this to this, and how much of this you've already used, and how little you actually have left to make a difference. And God can still use you, even if it's down to this. But, you know, I thought about that. I'm like, I wasted a lot. But I needed to waste it, because I wasn't ready yet. And it took that time for me to come around and be ready to let God into my heart and start becoming His vessel to be doing His work. And my attitude changed. My attitude changed in my daily work. It changed in my, just the way I talk to people. I had given up myself. I had what I had been described as a holy surrender, just my mouth, my thoughts, and just started working for God instead of working for a man, you know. And the blessings were just coming in, but just not just as in for me, but as in for my employer, as in for my friends and my family. Like, the attitude changed. People were coming up and asking my wife, "What's up with Chris? What's the deal there? You know, like, he seems different." And I was told the same thing by people that didn't even see me on a daily basis, just were approaching me. So we went on with this prayer, and I had no direction at the time. Thank you, Siri. So, spring back's announced. I hear this announcement. And I remember sitting back there, and I'm like, "Is this it? God, is this it?" Then I heard the requirements, and I'm like, "Must not be. Must be here now." But it didn't leave me. And then I'm approached by a few different men that said, "You know, that sounds like you. Why don't you consider this?" And I said, "I don't know, guys." So I went to my wife, and I could tell that I caught her off guard. And she never discouraged me from doing it. But what she wanted me to do was, she wanted me to pray about it and seek out some insight from some men that had nothing to do with the church nor my job. So nobody had a dog in this fight except for me. And she said, she goes, "Anybody that's worth their soul will only offer their insight, not their advice or their opinion on it." Not advice, but opinion. And I did that. And the response was overwhelming. Like, just how people were saying they could see God in this, and this is just what. So I'm over, this has completely taken me over, and I just want to make sure I'm not missing much. So I'm still praying about it, and I contact Sean, and I'm talking to him about it, and I let him know that I feel this nudge, and he said, "You know what? Pray. Take some time." So I decided to be still and wait and just watch God unfold things. And through this whole process, when it first started, I just imagined this gigantic jigsaw puzzle of this process in my head and just watched as time went on, the pieces just started dropping in from all angles. And I even talked to my boss. I'm like, "What do you do when God's calling you to do something?" And he's like, "You have to go." I don't know if he knew what I was talking about at that point. But, I mean, seeing it's just two of us there at the time, he's like, "Well, you can't turn it down. You got to go. When God's calling, you got to move." And, you know, we had these conversations, but so I decided that, you know what, maybe I need to give up a little more. So I decided I was going to fast. And my wife came alongside of me. And I talked to the guys. I said, "Listen, I'm going to fast for 2 days. I've never done that before." And so I did it. And I start jumping into it. And the first day is rough, especially when you're my size. You're like, "I need a burger now. I'm going to pass out." So I'm getting in the second day. It's in the day. We're at my daughter's baseball practice. And a buddy of mine's like, "What are you doing tonight?" I'm like, "Sitting around being hungry." He's like, "Let's go fishing." So next thing I know, I find myself at Lake Racetown striper fishing out on a boat in the dark. And I'm sitting out there in the stars, the moon, out, the wind's perfect, the temperature's perfect. I mean, anybody who fishes, you know what I mean by perfect. And I'm just looking up and I'm like, "God, how can you be so awesome to care about such a little thing as my fast? I am finishing my fast on the lake with no temptation available, doing something that I absolutely love and I've never done before, which was striper fishing." And I said, "You're just amazing." And just the little details. So, quick side story. We're not catching any fish I didn't even care. It's beautiful out. We're shooting back in the dock, like 60 mile an hour across the lake, and we hit the dock. My buddy says, I'm going to get the truck. I'm sitting there looking at the fish finder, and it's like 14 feet of water, and it's 54 degrees, and pitch black, no lights around. He gets up, backs the truck down, comes out and jumps back in. And I went to step out of the boat. Got my foot hooked in the net, the boat pushed away, and I went head first into the water, in between the boat and the dock. And I popped back out, and he's like, you all right? And I said, I'm fine, I'm just a little cold. So I get it back around there, pull out, realize my phone's in my pocket. I'm like, oh no. So I pull it out, and it's fine. It's water resistant, as I was told, not waterproof. And it's 10:01. My fast ended at 10 o'clock, probably about the time I went headfirst into the water. And I started laughing as I was changing into his rain gear that was all I had. It was dry. And I looked at him, and we were both joking around. I said, and Jesus said, let him be baptized. And we laughed about that the rest of the day, the rest of the evening. So I ended up going 58 hours on that fast. It felt like for all that Jesus has done for us and me, I was way able to give a little more. And I ended up going 58 hours. So that was a pretty big accomplishment. It was a pretty big eye-opening experience that God was with this. And so I got back, and this is where the blind faith comes in. I talked to Sean again, and I wasn't willing to make this step without my wife walking hand in hand with me through this process, because I felt like if God brought us together, we need to walk this together, and that was important to me, and I wasn't going to move without her. She went away, did some praying, did some reading, and came back, and we talked, and we decided that this was okay, that this was going to be okay, and we were willing to walk it together, hand in hand through this. So I touched base with the church. Well, in the same week, I also touched base with Laverne, who was my boss. As everybody knows, I still don't have, it's not set in stone that this position's for me. And I am pretty nervous about going in there, because I'm called a meeting with him and his wife. And I told him what God's been doing in my life, and he said, I know. And I told they knew that I was leaving. And I told them that this isn't a for sure thing yet, but I'm still leaving, because I feel God's still telling me to move, and I am willing to obey. And his wife stood up. I thought they were going to be angry. His wife stood up and she said, I am so proud of you. How could we tell you can't go? And it was just the most beautiful just interaction. And it couldn't have went any better. God could not have laid that plan out any better to happen. And yeah, I can't even, I'm not going to cry. Can't cry. I got a beard. So, but I continue to keep praying and being still, letting God continue to work the details out. And since then, the details have been working out. And the more that I obeyed, the more they worked out. So, just a quick side note. Something else that happened this year was, 19 years after my criminal life, and through various letters and work, I've been pardoned of all my crimes. And I am no longer a convicted felon. The governor has pardoned me. Another just beautiful gift by the grace of God, that I can be forgiven even by men for what I've done. And it has just been pretty amazing this year, just the way that things have fit together. So I'm going to wrap this up, but I wanted to share something real quick, if that's all right with you.
No more talking.
Okay. I am continuing to seek God through this. And if I'm not in this position because this is not God's plan, I'm still okay with that because I understand that God's plan is better than mine. Will it be weird and scary? Yeah, probably. I mean, I have been in contact with some, with, I plan on, I'm looking into Lancaster Bible College for the fall if this is the position for me to further my education and that to be part of the plan. So, but before I close up here, I just want to, thank my wife because she has been there for me through thick and thin, through times she should have dropped me. And she has walked with me in places that I know that I have walked her into unknown territory and have stretched her in ways. And I love her very much. The other person is Justin, my brother from another mother. This guy has walked also in territories with me. He has been there for me. He has met with me. He has loved me when I didn't think I was lovable from friends. I love him to death. He is my best friend, and I love him. Thanks, brother.
You too, buddy.
Thank you, guys, for your time. I will be in prime groups all next week.
It's Sunday, man.
Yeah. It's coming up, the next prime group. So if you guys have any questions, you want to hear more stories, I will be as transparent as I can possibly remember. I mean, I'm getting older, so things start to get blurry for me. But I'll be as transparent as I can, so don't hold back. Don't hesitate. There's nothing I will withhold. So.
Yeah, and were you done? No?
Yeah.
You're not done?
No, I'm done.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. So, obviously you heard Chris's story, as he just said. He's going to be in prime groups this week. He's going to hit all the adult prime groups. He's going to be there for an hour. We're going to respect his time. The prime group leaders know that. And then on Thursday, he's bouncing between a couple groups. But he's there to answer questions, just to get to know Chris. He's not going to solve all the deep theological issues of if God's so powerful, you know, can he make a rock he can't lift? Or talk about how does the hypostatic union work? Or even define it. But he's there to get to... to get to know, for you to get to know him a little bit more, for those of you that don't. And as you said, no questions are off limits. So that'll be a chance for you to do that this week. As we've said through this process, you know, we shared at Spring Back a few months ago, and we had no idea that God was working these pieces out that he was. And I remember even one of our elders meeting, kind of preparing this, Justin said, just out of the blue, he's like, so like, what if Chris Hale would apply? And I'm like, ha! If Chris Hale would apply for this position, we'll have some conversations, okay? Because that's not going to be happening. And God's like, oh, yeah? and this isn't just apply. Like, this is God bringing things together. And so we ask that you continue to pray for Chris, for us, as leaders, as elders. And again, the way we've said this for you, if there's any concerns you have, any hesitations, you know, whether you think they're big or little, as Kirk prayed, this is a big deal. Like, we've never had a second pastor on staff. You've been stuck with me. And so now this is a big step. So if there are any concerns, please talk to me, to one of the elders, because we just want to be able to address those things with Chris privately and as we continue to pray about this. And again, he'll be in prime groups this week, and then next week, next Sunday, the elders and their wives and Chris and Dawn, we're all going to get together and we'll kind of see where things go from there. And in the future, after that, the end of May, early June, we will, if there's nothing that comes up that's an issue that we feel he or we feel would change our minds about this, we will call Chris to this position and we'll have a second person on staff. So that's, again, we want to, as he already said, we are very open. Like, this seems perfect, but God's plan is way better than our own desires. And so we really want to be submissive to what God has for us. So we ask that you would pray that for us as well. So thank you, Chris. And I've got about, let me give it up for Chris, just because, thank you. And I guess you can go have a seat.